2 Samuel chapter 12, let's move quickly. I always have a lot to say. Never have enough time to say it. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's look at verse 15 if we could. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David. And it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. Came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. The servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. Came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. When the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went in unto her, lay with her, and she bare a son. He called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sat by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Father, honor yourself here in the message tonight. Cleanse me of sin and of self and with your spirit. I pray that this will be a blessing to somebody. I know this is right where we are, right where we live. I pray that you help us to get a hold of this thing called worship. In Jesus' name, amen. We have spent the last several months dealing with the subject of worship. It never gets too old to be reminded of John chapter 4, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to remind you, as we do every single week, God is a spirit. Aren't you glad that God is not a man that he should lie? Aren't you glad that God is not limited to the confines of the human anatomy? Aren't you glad that the things that we struggle with, God does not struggle with? Aren't you glad that we serve an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, an omnipresent God, an immutable God, an eternal God? Aren't you glad that we serve a perfect God, a sinless God, a holy God, a just God, and a righteous God? And wait a minute now, aren't you glad that this God is our God? They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. God communes with man in his spirit. And we saw in John chapter 4, as this woman that wasn't even saved, she had several husbands. The fifth one wasn't even her own. And yet she was speaking of a time when they would worship in a mountain. She was stuck on tradition. She was stuck on places. She was stuck on going through the rituals. But she didn't understand. Listen to me. There's coming a day when every person is going to worship God. Listen to me. And it won't be about a mountain. It won't be about a spot. It won't be about a tradition. It won't be about a ritual. It'll be about the Spirit of God communing with my spirit. And listen to me, aren't you glad when God saved me, that dead spirit that was lost and undone was quickened, amen, by the Holy Spirit of God. And now that I'm alive, hey, listen to me, when God speaks to my spirit can speak to God's spirit, and I can adore him and worship him and revere him and serve him for who he is. We have a good God tonight. I don't know what you've been through this week, but we serve a good God. And He's worthy to be praised. And we spoke about the priority of worship and the passion of worship and the preparation of worship and the profitability of worship and the price of worship and the process of worship and the practicality of worship. And Job saw us, showed us when everything goes wrong, we're going to worship. And we learn when we're under pressure, we're going to worship. And when we're confused, we're going to worship. Amen. And when things don't add up, listen to me, we're going to worship. We saw Daniel in chapter 5 threatened on his life, and he had the lion's den awaiting him and the temptation to give in to those pressures. But Daniel decided, even though folks are watching me, I'm going to keep my windows open. Amen. We saw in the life of Mary, John chapter 12. Last week, Mary said, I'm going to keep it real. So much fake worship out there. Hey, don't believe every worship service is worship. Don't turn the television on and watch people falling out and talking in tongues and cutting a fool and call that worship. Hey, worship is not just noise. Amen. Worship is not just church. Amen. Worship is when I get a hold of God's attention. Worship is when I approach a holy God and a righteous God. And I recognize there's nothing in me that warrants His grace. There's nothing in me that deserves His favor. There's nothing in me that deserves His presence. Yet, He's shown up. He's alive. He's identified Himself to me. And because He's here, I choose to worship Him. That's what worship's all about. I want to give you a thought tonight. Stood out in my mind here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. You know the story of chapter 11. David stayed home from one war. Can I tell you something? You don't have to miss a lot of godly stuff to fall in sin. Just miss one. Just miss one. Just miss one war. Just stay home from one service. Skip one day reading your Bible. Tune God out for just one day. You'll be surprised how far you can fall outside of God. David stays home one war. One war. You know the story. He stays home. He's where he shouldn't be. Wrong place, wrong time. Guess what? Bad things happen. He looked. He got hooked. He booked. He took. He became a crook. All in one day. He takes somebody else's wife that's not his. He murders her husband. He lives in sin for 9 months. And the man of God shows up. Isn't it amazing how the man of God always shows up? What a word from God. And how many of you know God always knows your business? Amen. And here comes the man of God showing up. Chapter 12. And he, of course, he paints this picture. Man's rich, got a bunch of sheep and lamb. And the other guy only has one. And the man with a bunch of lambs takes the man's lamb that only has one. And, of course, David's eyes raise up. And all of a sudden, his spirit is enraged in him. And he says, that man that did that should be executed. And all of a sudden, Nathan said, thou art the man. Then amazing how we're so quick to condemn in others what we excuse in ourselves. And here is David finding out that God is not just interested in you executing judgment on others, but you better self-examine yourself. You better look at yourself, David, and find out where you stand. Now watch this now. Here's what I want you to get tonight. David messed up in chapter 11 and in chapter 12. God sends the man of God to inform him of his sin. God forgives you. You hear that? Verse 13, the Lord had put away our sin. Thank God He puts away our sin. No, I don't believe you. Thank God He puts away our sin. Yeah, you better thank God for that. Because if God kept records of your sin, you'd be in big time trouble. You'd be in the electric chair. Amen. God kept record of your sin. Thank God He puts away your sin. Amen. But I want you to know, just because He puts away your sin doesn't mean He puts away those consequences. David says, I've sinned. Nathan says, God has put away your sin. How be it? Verse 14. Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Verse 15. And the Lord struck the child. Be sure your sin will find you out. David messed up. And by the way, there's not a mess up you can make that God won't forgive. But your sin will find you out. And you do reap what you sow. And you do pay for disgracing God. And you have to pay for disobeying God. And here is David. He's fallen into sin. Now he's confessed his sin. Now that he's been informed he's going to be judged for his sin. And now the consequences of David's sin are right upon him. Yet according to the word of God, the scripture says, even in the midst of all of this, David worshiped. Let me say that again. Even in the midst of all of this, David worshiped. You're taking notes tonight. Write this down. When you are dealing with the consequences of your sin, worship. I feel like I'm in good company tonight. I feel like there's a whole bunch of us that know what it's like to be laying over God's knee getting a whooping. I feel like there's a whole bunch of us that know what it's like to look back and say, why did I do that? What was I thinking? What in the world would cause me to make a mistake like that? Nobody in this room tonight could say, I'm proud of everything I've done. I've never made any mistakes in my life. I've never messed up. The truth of the matter is, all of us are sinners that are saved by grace. If you're saved tonight, it's by grace. But every single one of us can look back to times in our life where we messed up, where we failed, where we disgraced God, where we disappointed our Creator. And we look back and say, God, I'm sorry. And yes, God always accepts your sorrow, but it doesn't change the fact that sin always has its consequences. This is what I'm saying tonight. Even Job's case was different. Job was living right for God, and Job wasn't under chastisement. Job was just being tested and proven by God. This in 2 Samuel chapter 12 is not the result of David's integrity or his righteousness, but the total opposite. This child died because his daddy didn't do the right thing. And yet in the midst of his sin, you know what David said? When I'm messed up because I messed up, I'm not going to blame God. When I'm bad off because I've been bad, I'm not going to blame God. When my life is messed up and misery has entered my life, and when tragedy has knocked on my door because I failed God. Listen to me. The reason why I'm in this predicament is because I didn't acknowledge God. Now I'm not going to be in the middle of it and make the same mistake. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I failed. Yes, I disgraced God. But you know what? I need God now more than I ever needed Him before. And I'll not let my sin and my disgrace and my failure and my mess up and my iniquity keep me away from God. I know I've done wrong, but it's time to worship God. When you face consequences of your sin, and you will, you better know how to get with God. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'm going to try to tell you in 25 minutes. Somebody said it's always next Wednesday, Pastor. Don't say that. Tell you what the problem is. The problem is not that Christians mess up. That is a problem. The problem is they mess up and then get mad at God. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if you swung at the ball and you missed three times, sit down. Amen. I'm saying if you broke in the store and stole a candy bar and got caught on the camera, stop trying to run from the cops. Amen. Amen. I'm saying if you held somebody, take the penalty and go back 10 yards. But for heaven's sake, don't get an attitude with God because you got what you asked for. You know what you need to say? In the midst of this chastisement, in the midst of this spanking, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. I'm still His child and He's still my God. I'm sorry for what I did, but it doesn't change the fact He's still worthy. He's still God. He's still just Jehovah, and I choose to worship. Okay, when you face the consequences of your sin, worship. Notice the thing about David that struck out at me, unlike before. Number one, his attitude in his predicament. Let's see if yours matches his. Number one, there was remorse for his sin. I said there was remorse for his sin. I said there was remorse for his sin. You know what worship includes? Worship includes coming to agreement with issues as to where God is. Huh? You can't worship God having your own opinion. You can't worship God going, okay, God, you and I are going to hang out, but I want you to know we're going to have to agree to disagree on something. No, you can't worship God coddling your sin and condoning your sin and rationalizing your sin and justify. You can't worship God going, God, I know I messed up, but what had happened was if she hadn't been out there. No. Nathan said, thou art the man. You know what David said? I have sinned. You ever read Psalm 51? Read it in your devotion. Don't read it now. Pay attention. This is when you read Psalm 51 and you find what a biblical apology is. Amen. Amen. Not my bad. Biblical apology doesn't translate oops. Come on. There are too many Christians that mess up talking about oops. You don't oops God. You don't my bad God. Amen. You don't explain to God why your sin was logical. You don't explain to God if your circumstances hadn't been such, you wouldn't have sinned. You say, God, I messed up. And the Bible said he had remorse for his sin. I want you to see that he says to Nathan, I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. Listen to me. Sin is always against God. It's always against God. Yeah, mama knows. Yeah, preacher caught you. Yeah, church member saw you. But the sin was against God. Sin was against God. You want to worship in the midst of your consequences? Act like you know whose fault it is. I wish you'd help me preach. Request for the supernatural. The Bible says he besought God for the child. Did you hear that? Listen. When you mess up and the judgment comes, you better be begging God for mercy. Come on. But I messed up. I'm through with church. I'm through with reading. I ain't reading my Bible. I ain't praying. I ain't right with God. That's why you failed the first time. Not reading your Bible. Did you learn from your mistake? Pick up your Bible. Get in your prayer closet. I don't know what to say. How about sorry? Amen. How about, oh God, don't give me what I deserve. How about, oh God, I know I deserve worse than I get. But God, I need some mercy right now. Hey, it's about time somebody that fell was on their face before Almighty God. By the way, we see the remorse for his sin, the request for the supernatural. Notice the repentance of his spirit. Notice what the scripture said. He fasted, went in, and lay all night upon the earth. You know why most Christians can't worship when they're getting judged? Because they're either... Watch now. They're either way too bitter or way too nonchalant. Amen. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying when you fall into sin, and by the way, we're not just talking about moral, gross and moral sin, although that is inclusive. But I'm talking about when you mess up. Anybody in here ever messed up? Put your hand. All right. I feel comfortable. I mess up all the time. So do you. But when you do mess up, does it bother you? Does it bother you? Does it bother you? Repentance cannot coexist with a bad attitude. Repentance cannot cohabitate with irritability. Listen, there's a whole lot of difference between, God, I'm sorry I failed you, and leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Don't you know what I've just gone through? Don't you know what just happened to me? Stay out of my faith. That's not what David's saying. David's not saying, I don't want to be bothered. David's saying, I need some time with God. I need some time with God. And by the way, he didn't skip church to get it. You don't rob from God to pay God. Amen. He's not saying I'm not coming to church. He's not saying I'm not going to serve anymore. He's not saying I'm through. No, you know what he's simply saying? I need to get down on my face. There needs to be some humility. There ought to be a consciousness of my sin. I failed against God. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have listened to that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have reacted that way. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gossiped. I shouldn't have been unkind. I shouldn't be unforgiving. I shouldn't have a bad attitude. I shouldn't have been in the flesh. And when I do, I'm not going to get mad when God points it out. I like this one. His remorse for sin, his request for supernatural, his repentance of his spirit. His refrain from self-indulgence. I don't want to eat. No. I don't want to eat. I need to concentrate on God right now. It's amazing how many Christians party in the midst of judgment. You know, it's not that you messed up that's as disturbing as how you're acting since you did. Do you know you failed God? Do you know you failed God? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying every once in a while when you fail God, maybe you need to pass on some things. Pass on some things. No, I know. I know you asked me, but really I need to get some things together first. I'm not going to quit church. I'm not going to quit tithing. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit soul winning. But I may need to wait a little while before I go telling other people what to do. I need to get myself together. I need a recovery period. Amen. And by the way, recovery period is not a time for you to pity party. Amen. It's a time for you to get your heart right with God. That's to get your heart right with God. Hey, you know what worship is? Worship is when I approach God and say, the closer I get to your holiness, the less comfortable I am with my lack thereof. His attitude and his predicament. Secondly, his approach to God's presence. Oh, God. Obviously, he besought God for the child. And here's what he's saying. Do not punish the unborn child for the sin of your living servant. Let me ask you a question. When you mess up, do you spend any time asking God to spare others from your foolishness? You know what y'all do as a parent? He'll say, God, for my mess up, don't judge my children. God, I'm a husband, the head of my house. For my nonsense, would you please shelter my wife? You know I'm preaching truth. God, for my mishap, don't judge my church. And by the way, he's well within his right. He's trying to track your worship. Hey! How's the worship meter going right about now? What do you have to say to me when I'm punishing you? And then all of a sudden, the Sabbath day, the child died. And the servant's scared to tell him. Shh. They didn't understand worship. I said, they didn't understand worship. And he sees them whispering. By the way, what they don't realize is, before the child ever got sick, God had already told David through the prophet he was going to die. David's trying to get God to change his mind. But David should not have been surprised with that result. And neither should you. It amazes me how some people live and then go, I don't know what's happening in my life. It's called judgment. I tell my children, whose fault is you getting spanked? I don't want to spank you. You should have thought about that when you did it. It's too late for that. It's too late to talk to. It's too late to expound on your dislike for whoopings. It's too late for that. Amen. The issue is not now whether you're going to get one. The issue is how you're going to deal with it. How you going to deal with it? The crime has already been committed. The verdict has already been passed down. Amen. Amen. And now we're getting ready to execute the discipline. It's how you're going to take it. You're going to lay down and take these five licks, or you're going to jump up around and get them to multiply. We can be five and done. We can be five and done. We can be three and done. We can get this thing over with. Or you can drag it out. And some of you are still getting judged for sin that God wanted to finish a long time ago. I wish you'd help me preach. Listen, some of you are still kicking and screaming at God. I don't want a spanking. You're just too late for that. You already messed up. The verdict's already been determined. Hey, well, listen, the judge already slung the gavel down. The question is, you're going to lay down and take it, or you're going to kick and run. Run around the room. God, I'm not coming to church. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not. You're just prolonging the whooping. Lay down and take it. I think it is. Can't take credit for it. Came from God. It's always good when it comes from God. Nick, watch this now. He is dead. Verse 19. Verse 20. Then David went to his room, found a bottle of aspirin, swallowed them all, and left a note. I'm dying. Then David texted all of his servants and said, I want y'all to know the king has officially entered his self-proclaimed state of depression. Then David said, don't have anybody set up an appointment for me. I'm down at the bar drinking my worries away. Then David phoned the priest and said, I won't be in church for the next month. I'm mourning over what God knows. He arose from the earth. And every once in a while, even though God is punishing you for your sin, you got to get up. Amen. He arose. You know his rising indicates his acceptance of God's authority. Wait a minute. Not like God has the habit to do what he does. Your acceptance of God's authority is not for his benefit. It's for yours. Because the longer you fight God's authority, the worse it is for you. I hate to tell you this, but you don't vote God in and you can't vote God out. God won't be impeached and God has no intention of resigning. He always has been God and he always will be God. He's not seeking your approval for his self-esteem or to alleviate his insecurity. God is not on the campaign trail trying to get the nomination. In the beginning, God always has been and he always will be. The acceptance of God's authority is not to help God. It's to help you. I'm getting up. The acceptance of God's authority. Watch this now. The adjustment of his appearance. Watch this. Washed and anointed himself. Look here. If you have prayed to God and God has given his answer, wash your face, put some clothes on, and act like God did what he wanted to do. Hey, brother, how are things going for you? Pray for me. It's been rough. It's been, you know, ever since. It's all my fault. If I hadn't done it, if I didn't go, if I didn't say it. Where you been, brother? I can't face you. I can't face the church anymore. I'm too embarrassed. If you can't face God, if you can't face God's people, you're letting me know you didn't face God. Because facing God gets you straight with facing people. I know. Listen. When he and I, have gotten things together, I'm not trying to be me. I'm not worried with you. I'm not worried with you. Listen. I'm not waiting for you to email me a note of clearance to say, you're fine with me now and I'm okay to serve. I'm not waiting for you. I'm not waiting a text from you to say, I've watched you for a long enough time to realize that I'm okay with watching you sing now. I don't sing for you. I sing for God. Now, wait a minute, lest some of you get too presumptuous. Because some of you get to running back to serving God after you never got right. And now talking about, oh, listen, God, you didn't get right. You brushed it under the carpet. And now you're up there like nothing went wrong. And you're up there preaching at people and you ain't never lived nothing you preach. Amen. Now you need to sit down somewhere. Amen. You need a timeout. You need to go into reserve. You need some rehab. You need to ice that ankle. Amen. Amen. You need some therapy. You need to get back into the Word of God and let somebody come in and tell you how you can start being used by God again. Amen. You need somebody that walks with God to let you know how you can get back in the fight. You need somebody to instruct you on the goodness and the mercy of God. And then after God said, hey, you know what I did, and you say, God, I know what you did, and I'm fine with wash your face. Anoint yourself. Change your apparel. Listen. I'm just trying to say. You know, it's been long enough, brother and sister. You need to take them sackcloth and ashes off. You've been wearing them mourning clothes for too long. Still trying to get over 5 years ago. Put them clothes off and get dressed and serve God. When you're going to serve God, listen to me. Wash your face. Anoint yourself. Amen. Get in a ministry. Get on a bus route. Teach in the Sunday school class. Go join the jail ministry. Sitting in the house. God can never use me again. It wasn't you when you hadn't sinned. It was God then. It's going to still be God. Amen. Get up and serve God. And hey, listen, we're talking about worship now. The acceptance of God's authority. The adjustment of His appearance. The adoration of the Almighty. The Bible says He came into the house of the Lord. You hear me now? He came into the house of the Lord. Hey, just because you mess up and God's done you for your sin, don't stay out of God's house. The last place you need to resign from is church. Came in God's house worship. Then he came to his own house and ate. Hey, listen, you accept God's authority. You make an adjustment to your appearance. There's an adoration of the Almighty. No, listen, there's an appetite for advancement. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to move forward now. Hey, servants, I think I reckon I'll eat now. You know what he's saying? It's time to get back to business. You know what worship does? Listen. Worship catapults you back to a position of service with God. Listen. Sin snatches you from God. Worship catapults you to God. Come on. Some of you trying to find a way out of your shame. Worship God. Worship has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. And you don't have to wait till you get to church to worship. You don't have to sing in the choir to worship. You should be in church. And if you can sing, you should be in the choir. But for heaven's sake, service ends tonight. And I got to wait till Sunday morning to tell God how good He is. I'm in big time trouble. Amen. I'm glad I can find Him tomorrow. Amen. If it snows Sunday and we can't get in the house of God, what's that got to do with my worship? It's an appetite. Things to feed me. And they were perplexed about this. Well, I understand. When the child was alive, you wouldn't eat. Now he's dead, and you're ready to eat. Brings me to my next point. Write this down. The attitude in his predicament. The approach to God's presence. Number three, the acknowledgement of God's providence. Hey, you know why I'm ready to eat? Because God has made His decision. Watch this now. And I know that the decision He made is always best. That's what worship does. Hey, here's what bad attitudes do. I don't like what He did. Watch this now. I wouldn't have done it that way. Thank God you're not doing it. I don't think that's fair.
This is right where we are. This is right where you are. How many timeouts did you take from worship this week? Because you didn't like what was happening. Got in the flesh, got irritable, told somebody off. You know what you said? You said to, when you went off and took a break from your worship, in essence, you said, God, whatever you just let happen, I don't agree with. And I don't think you're smart enough to know what you're supposed to do to let it happen.
The child is dead. But God knows what he's doing. We're going to have to finish next week. Because I have a lot more to say. There's a good ending to this story. Huh? Hey, I don't know about you. I like it when they get on the chair and ride happily ever after. I don't like stories with bad endings. You know what God is saying? Your worship can determine the end of the story. Isn't it amazing how David's response to God's response of his sin determined God's response to his worship? Somebody said, huh? Get your tape and listen to it over and over again, what I just said. Listen, I'm saying you did wrong and forced God to judge you, so do right and force God to bless you. It's amazing. We put God in a corner. You're like God woke up this morning and said, I just want to beat you. You get on my nerves. Get me a switch. A belt. Extension cord. Cast iron skillet. A shoe. A fly swatter. Come on. Spatula. A paddle. A spoon. A water hole. That brother from down in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mama might not have a spatula. You run around outside cutting the food, get the water hose. Amen. They don't leave as many weps. Y'all white folks, y'all call them whelps. Amen. I want to make sure everybody know what we're talking about. Amen. Amen. But they all hurt. Whelps are weps. They come from beatings. Can I get an amen? Here we are. And I just wish God could hit me. And God saying, in between licks, have you ever thought about praising me? Some of you say, you don't know. My week. Pastor, I left church Wednesday and Thursday. I had a bad day. Friday, I had a worse day. And Saturday, I had a worser day. Can I ask a question? You say, I can't stand my job. Every day I go to my job to just get on my nerves. Can I ask you a question? In between Wednesday going to work, Thursday going to work, did you think about praising? I'm going back there again. Talk to God in between time. Yeah. I'm going to demand that God shows his providence on me. And I'm going to acknowledge that he knew before the fullness of time where I was going to be working in March of 2012. And who my boss would be. And who was sitting beside me on the job. Amen. He knew who that professor would be that I can't stand. And he put me in that class. He put me in that church. He knew my pastor was crazy, but he put me in that church. God understood. And I acknowledge, it's okay, God. I'm okay with the fact that you followed through with your judgment on me. I'm okay. I know what sin does to a holy God. But watch this now. I'm not trying to stop you from doing what you should do to me in this case. I'm trying to get you in on some good stuff for the next one. Consequences of sin are real. They're regular. And oftentimes they're very rigid. But you know what? In the midst of that judgment, which is sure to come, choose to worship. Our Father, I thank you.